Hey there, my name is Cassie Torresias, and 8 years ago, I launched my own online graphic design studio and booked a one-way ticket to travel the world in pursuit of my own freedom-filled life. I now own a multi-million dollar online business, The Bucket List Bombshells, teaching other women how to do the same, alongside my best friend, co-founder, and podcast co-host, Shay Brown. Around here, we believe that your crazy dreams aren't crazy, and that it's time for you to start creating the life and career that you dream about too. Whether you want to travel and work remotely, or simply just want to be your own boss, it's possible to live out your passion and purpose without just scraping by. We know that this path isn't always easy to navigate though, so we're here to help you. From making a career change, starting and growing your own business, balancing life and business, and most importantly, pursuing your own freedom-filled life. Get ready for real, relatable stories and advice on your journey towards something more. We serve it up BFF style, so pour yourself that third cup of coffee and let's dive in. Welcome to the Freedom-Filled Life Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Filled Life podcast. I'm so excited to be sitting down today with Louise Henry, a tech and systems expert turned course creator. And Louise and I actually met back in 2017. So quite a while ago, we became instant friends after she approached Cassie and I at a cafe in Bali called Dojo. It is a co-working space. And if you want to hear more about our origin story, how Cassie and I got started, you can check out episode one. But let me tell you, Louise was there from the beginning. And like I said, it was an instant connection. We sort of geeked out on all things techie and built this beautiful friendship while building our businesses. And I'm really excited to sit down because Louise is going to share with us how she transitioned from being a service-based business owner into and how to build a thriving online course business, which you know is something that Cassie and I also did. We also transitioned from service-based to online courses. So excited to kind of chat through the journey and what that looked like. So before we dive in, I'd love to hear from you, Lou. What is your story? Can you tell us about the business that you own, the services that you offer, or the products that you offer?
Absolutely. Hi, it is so great to be here with you. We really have been, you know, side by side doing this from the very beginning. So I started out as a tech virtual assistant, but then I transitioned and leveraged those tech skills into a few different online courses, which are basically all centered around helping entrepreneurs create a more leveraged, scalable online business. So yeah, all tech-based, ended up launching multiple different online courses and absolutely love this model.
I know, me too. I was also a virtual assistant as well, which then I transitioned into teaching our Bucket List Bombshells tech skills course. And Cass was a graphic designer turned into teaching graphic design. So I love that journey. And I think it's such a beautiful transition to take, you know, your experience and expertise in an area and transition it into a format that's helping someone else achieve the same things that you've been able to do. So let's rewind a little bit, and I want to hear more about what that transition looked like. I know that you shared you were a virtual assistant, and now you have a series of courses that really help with the tech and the systems. But when you were running that virtual assistant business, what was that turning point? What was that journey that looked like from the transition period?
Yeah, for sure. So I was a virtual assistant, which was amazing because I mean, that really unlocked the work from anywhere lifestyle for me. And I was so excited, like, to be able to be with you guys in Bali, working from cafes and just riding around on our scooters. I mean, it was such a blast. I'm so grateful that we did that. So that was already a huge accomplishment for me. I was so happy to have a virtual assistant business and to be booked out with that. So I did get to the point where I hit an income ceiling and I wasn't going to be able to grow my business any further simply because all my hours were filled with client work. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I started the business, I knew that online courses was where I wanted to go. I had seen people talking about like the incredible potential of mm-hmm. this type of business. And I was like, yes, like I really wanted to go big and be able to help millions of people. And like, you know, just really, I was so excited by that idea. But being a virtual assistant was a fantastic place to start because I had to start somewhere. Like I had to start and develop those skills and like see what could even become an online course. So it was such a good starting point. And then basically what happened was so many of my clients needed Squarespace help. Like it just, it kind of, the idea, you know, fell on my lap where everyone needed Squarespace help. So I was developing my expertise there. And at the same time, everyone was recommending one particular way of building your website, which was WordPress at the time. And I was like, wait, there's like such an easier way to do this. So that really is when I developed my first online course, which was for entrepreneurs to build their own website, even if they didn't feel they had any tech skills. So I think like that's a really good example for people as well of like, just see what is currently like being promoted, what ideas being promoted out there. If you have an alternative, like that's a really great way to come up with your first course idea. What's something that you're doing like again and again, or even I think what was interesting about that, a lot of people feel like, oh, I have to be like the world's number one expert in this area. And like, I just chose to start by helping beginners. Like that was a really, really good place to start. Kind of similar, like very similar to what you guys did.
Yeah. It's so interesting to hear that you went into it with the idea that maybe you would develop a course at some point, even when you first started your service-based business, because that was the same for me. It was before we launched our first course in 2015, prior to that, when I was starting my service-based business, I had started following Marie Forleo, who, if you know, she is the online course creator, kind of first guru in the industry. And I saw that as such a cool business model, like you had mentioned, being able to reach more people, being able to help people transition from A to B. But I didn't know what that was going to be yet, but I knew I wanted to have an online course. So I love that we have that similar journey, because I think a lot of other people in the industry have decided that after the fact, or even some of our students, you know, they had the service-based business, they hit the ceiling cap, and then it's like, okay, what can I do next? Which was also another beautiful journey as well. So, and you definitely don't have to be this like expert level. You just have to be able to teach something to someone to get a result and help them avoid the mistakes that you've made along the way, or the obstacles or the learning curves. Like that's really what I'm such a course junkie. Like I create them, but I also consume a lot of courses. And I love that aspect of like, okay, yes, get me from point A to B, like easier, faster, with like more strategies and knowledge and insight than I have. So I love that.
Absolutely.
And from there, how did your business evolve and grow over time from your first course to now? I know you have multiple online courses.
So yeah, once I started it and started running this type of business, then I was absolutely hooked. I was like, okay, this is the right model for me. I love this. So then I just really continued the process. And I like to share this with people because I'm like, you could absolutely do this as well. I just learn something and I have to figure something out for myself in my own life and for my own business. And then once I develop that in full, I turn that and I package that into an online course.
Oh, so
yeah. It's really just like this little cycle of like learn, study, you know, form your own system, and then turn that, package that into an online course. So for example, as my business grew, all of a sudden organization became a lot more important and I couldn't just like rely on notebooks anymore. So then I had to learn project management and I had to learn Asana. And through using that, eventually like my own system of how to leverage that tech tool started to take shape. And so then that became my next online course called Uplevel with Asana. And then when I wanted to scale this type of online course business, then I built a course teaching like all the tech tools that I use to do that. So yeah,
I love that.
That's really like how I've done it.
I love that you have, because you and I are like so about the processes and like repeatable patterns and SOPs. And I love that you're just like, this is how I create my course. I do the XYZ and it's like almost like a loop of a circle, like recyclable within this beautiful way. And I love that because I think a lot of people struggle to come up with a course idea. And I think a lot of people try and pack too much in or do this really big course right away. But I love that you can also have this simplistic way of saying, let's do something niche. Like you're saying project management with Asana, you know, like that's one piece of tech and systems inside of a business. And you're giving someone a course in that niche. And that's also something really beautiful. You know, I think there's a difference between signature courses and these smaller niche courses. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just such a good place to start for people, you know, and then you're helping people with a really specific, actionable outcome. So yeah, I always just recommend for people to look at the, you know, the strategies, the frameworks that they've already developed for themselves. Like even that is a starting point. It doesn't have to be, you know, that you've done it for so many clients or whatever. If you've seen results yourself, I think you can help other people achieve that same outcome.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. One of the questions we like to ask on here and that our audience loves to know is, you know, what were some of the challenges that you faced during this business growth and how did you overcome those?
Yeah. Well, many, many challenges across all the different areas. As you know, like we just have to wear so many hats as the entrepreneur. I mean, it's been so good in that it challenges you in all different areas. One of the most difficult areas for me has been being comfortable, being visible, and like really growing my platform. Because once you step into becoming an online course creator, then that matters a lot more. So you really have to transition to being okay with, I'm going to build an audience, like I'm going to put myself out there online, versus like a service-based business where a lot of times people are getting all their clients based on referrals, for example, or, you know, cold emails or something. So yeah, that was challenging. And then just like growing, trying to always go to the next level. And that has required trying to figure out like, how do I get in front of so many people at one time in order to, you know, hit my goals with my course.
Yes, that makes sense. And I know that you used to be solopreneursidekick.com and now you are louisehenry.com. And I had a question come in recently, actually, from a student who was asking me about courses and should she launch her course using her own name or a branded business name, for example. And I was curious if you could tell us a little bit about your decision to go from Solopreneur Sidekick, I hope I'm remembering that correctly, to Louise Henry, in terms of like your brand.
Yeah, totally. So you are correct. That was the name. And I think it was adorable, but also it's very long. And so every time I would write it out, I was like, okay, this is a little bit on the long side. But also it did just feel like another barrier to people getting to know me because, okay, one thing, you know, Solopreneur Sidekick, you know that name. Okay. Then I need to take it a step further and for you to understand like, oh, hey, like it's actually Louise and this is what this is all about versus if you build a personal brand, I do think it's strong. And as a course creator, like people are going to be choosing to learn from you specifically, especially in the way that we're doing this, where we're like, we're building brands online and, you know, people aren't just choosing who to learn from based on like the information or the topic. It's like, they want to learn from you. So I did feel that like just dropping that name, dropping that extra barrier and going straight to like, hey, this is me and this is what I do. Like come and get to know me was a lot easier with it just being my name. So that's ultimately why I made that change.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you for sharing that. I personally was kind of curious because I actually don't think I knew the journey of that. So, and I got the question from our audience. So that was really interesting to know because I think I actually get that question a lot from our students, you know, what do I name my business? What do I start out as? And I think that there's, you know, a journey in that as well. And like you said, as course creators, there is a part of positioning you and yourself as someone getting to know you and wanting to learn from you. And I really think that was a key point. Thank you for sharing that. So let's get into some of the online course business questions I wanted to ask you. So when you're building an online course, or when someone who's listening wants to build an online course, what would you say to them if they are thinking that there is no room for them in the course market?
Well, I actually got this objection the other day from someone who I was just talking to on Instagram, and they were like, yeah, but you know, it's already been done. And I'm like, well, first of all, that's actually a good sign that it shows you that someone else is out there having success in this particular area. Like, that already shows you that people want help in this area and that they're willing to pay for it. So that's a good sign. But then, just out of curiosity, I Googled it, like, how many people are there online today? And the answer was 5 billion. So hopefully that also just gives a bit of perspective. I really think that there's room for everyone. Like, if you imagine that many people online, and then how many like customers we even feel we can serve, you know. Well, I know online courses are great because there's really no cap, but regardless, that is a lot of people online. I think there's room for everyone. I think it is, though, about you leaning in to your own unique angle. So there's going to be either like you've discovered something that's a little bit different, or even just like it can be something super simple, like you make it simple and everybody else is making it super complicated, or you make it fun and everyone else is like approaching it in a really serious, like uptight way. So I think as you develop it and like as you put yourself out there, lean into the things that make you different. And then it will be absolutely fine. But yeah, there's a total, approach it with an abundance mindset. There's an abundance of opportunities. There's abundance of people out there online. And yeah, if you're seeing examples of people succeeding, like, that's great. Use that as encouragement, use that as motivation, but definitely don't let that get in your head. I mean, anything that I've taught, other people are teaching as well. And it's fine. Like, I'm friends with, you know, friends of mine teach very similar things, and it's absolutely okay. And we all have our own ways of doing it. And in the end, the student, the end customer, is going to connect with us for different reasons. Like, maybe they just like resonate with your story. Maybe they see like a bit of themselves in you, and then therefore they want to learn from you. So I think don't let that like, it is a limiting belief in a way. Don't let that hold you back.
Yeah, I love that. That's such an interesting fact that there's 5 billion people online at any given moment, or whenever you Googled the stat. Because kind of just to follow up with that, to give some number perspective, is if you have an email list of 1,000 people and the average conversion rate in the industry is 2%, that's going to be 20 sales. So you're only trying to convert for like, say, your first course launch, and your course maybe is priced at $500, that's $10,000, right? From 20 sales, if my math is correct there. But so you're trying to only convert or really get in front of, let's say, first 1,000 people out of 5 billion, because, you know, you put out some free content, make sure you're engaging, you're growing your audience, you're building that connection with 1,000 people. And if you put 1,000 people in a room, like in a conference room, it would feel so big. And I love that perspective. But also at the same time, online, 1,000 people is a drop in the bucket. So there is room for you. If you are building an audience, if you are, like Louise had shared, sharing, having a unique perspective or a unique way of doing something or a method, or different things like that, you are going to have a place online for your course to be seen and to be purchased and to be enjoyed by a student, and multiple students. Like you said, we can grow with no ceilings in this business. So I love that. Thank you for sharing that perspective and that number. You know, I nerd out about numbers. So right now, I feel like there's so much buzz online around the term like passive income. And I'm very curious, in your opinion, what does this buzzword mean to you as an online course creator?
For sure. People either love or hate this term. I'm holding on to it. Like, I still love it. I'm like, you know what? I wanted passive income. Like, I still like it. I think a more accurate word would really be leveraged income, where it's like, okay, you're setting things up. You're working hard at the beginning and you're setting up assets for yourself, which will continue to work for you. I think that's one aspect to it, but there are like ways of getting passive sales. So that's really like when I'm teaching this, that's what I like to teach, that like there is actually legitimately a way of you making sales while you're at the beach, while you're sleeping, while you're, you know, watching Netflix, like that does exist. And even though it does kind of get like a bad rap and people are like, what does that even mean? Like, it sounds like internet sort of scammy language, but it absolutely does exist. And that's really just you using tech and systems and like setting up the right things. And once you do, it's absolutely possible. I'm proof of that. You're proof of that. Like, so many, I know so many of my friends have set this up for themselves and it's really amazing. So that feels very passive for me. If I set something up once and then I continue to make sales of it, it doesn't require any additional work on my part for that sale. Let's say $1,000 comes in. I don't have to do anything extra for that. And it comes in when I'm chilling out. So for me, that is pretty passive, but obviously it's not 100% passive because there's a lot of work that goes into setting it all up.
Yeah, I think for me, the term, I have always loved it. It's why I wanted to have courses. It's why I wanted to transition from one-on-one work into quote unquote passive income work. I think where I see it now online being used as like, you don't have to do any work. Like it's just all passive, make money in your sleep. And I love that, you know, you wake up to sales and you do make money in your sleep. That is something that happens with online courses. I think though, that there is like a misconception around like what you have already shared with us, building a brand, building sales systems, building, you know, the business and marketing. There's still marketing and sales, and it's still a full-time business. And it's passive in the sense that you're not going and having to close that sale one-on-one and then work one-on-one with someone, or it's time sensitive, you know, that you have to take a call or something like that. It's very much, in my opinion, passive because of the systems we set up. We can make money at any time of day. We can also have no ceiling on how much, you know, one time, you know, we've brought in, you know, close to six figures in one day. Like there's like, to me, that's like amazing passive income in that sense of it didn't require my like direct minute to minute or hour to hour to be the equivalent of like how much I'm making. I think that there comes so much more within the business. You're building the brand, you're creating the courses, you're, you know, creating new sales systems or improving sales systems, you're setting them up. And I think that there could be so much fun energy around passive income. I just think it gets a bad rap nowadays online. And I think it's positioned as like, you don't have to work. It's just money that comes in. I'm like, no, there's still like work to be done. It's just kind of more fun, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And also like I have another good example, like I do make passive income because I chose like, okay, so when you're building this type of business, then obviously you have to build an audience. And so I chose YouTube as my tool to do that. And like each video that I put up, then I'm getting like, once that video has been created and put online, then that drives traffic to my course. I'm also making passive income from YouTube ad revenue, which that does feel very passive because it's like, okay, I've posted a video and now that's just going to make money for years to come. But even similarly, like driving traffic to the courses, once the video is up there, as long as that is getting views, then it is, you know, it is making you money. So there are like ways like that as well. Of course, YouTube is not the only thing I do, but that's just a good example where it is pretty passive. However, if I don't post more, like if I don't like continue to fuel, then my like ad revenue can go down for example. So it's like a little, a little bit of both.
Exactly. And I think the other aspect of passive income that I really love is the way that I can design my day. You know what I mean? Like because we have an online course, it's self-paced. And when you enroll, it's again, not one-on-one client work. So if I get sick, if I need to help a family member, if I want to take some time off, the systems are still in place to serve my audience in the way that I want them to be served in a customer journey, through like email marketing, through YouTube, if you're using YouTube, through different channels where you have everything already set up and you're taking that person on a journey through your getting to know you and getting to know your courses and enrolling in your courses. You can, to me, the passive part is that I have a lot more control over the way that I design my days and where I spend my time. And I love that aspect too of the passive part of running this full-time business.
Exactly. Yeah. So when we compare it to like our previous service-based business, it's significantly more passive.
So we talked a little bit about marketing and systems. I was wondering, when it does come to marketing, what is your favorite strategy for marketing and selling your online course?
Okay. So 100% YouTube for, so for the reason that I mentioned, because either way, you are going to need to build your audience and build up visibility for your course. And YouTube is like one of the only platforms where you're actually going to get paid simply by posting videos. Like, you're getting paid to do your lead generation that you would have to do anyways. So I think it's brilliant. I think there's still so many opportunities on YouTube. I think you can really meet your ideal client, like when they're ready, like when they're looking for you, and then you pop up with a really helpful video, and it's just a really like natural way of getting sales. So I absolutely love YouTube. And then I have a few other favorite strategies. I love utilizing affiliates as well to get partners and to get other people on board, like helping to spread the word. Mm-hmm. And then I also love going around and doing like guest trainings in front of already existing audiences. So those are like my top three ways of marketing.
Yeah, so interesting with your strategy for YouTube. Definitely something, we didn't get started on YouTube, but I definitely see the benefits there. And I see that you've been so successful, and I've seen other course creators be really successful with YouTube. So I think that that's a great place, especially right now, to start with marketing strategies for an online course, because people want to be seeing on video, people want to watch video, people want bite size video content or longer form if they're trying to do something like in the tech or systems world. And I just see so much continued potential from a channel like YouTube. And like you said, you get paid to post on there. You know, once you reach a certain, I think there's a couple criteria, you then get ad revenue from posting and you get traffic to your site, which is fantastic, because I find that with social media platforms, you're really battling with the algorithm. Whereas YouTube, I know that there is an algorithm, but people are searching for you. I find that it's more SEO driven than, you know, some of the social media platforms like Instagram, where it's very heavily, I don't understand the algorithm changes, or I have to like maneuver around all the different changes that they always make. I wanted to know from you, what's your experience been with YouTube in terms of like, how do you utilize it as a social media platform or an SEO search engine platform? Would love to know your opinion on that.
Yeah. So I'm with you 100%. Like, I'm on social media, absolutely. And I think it is great to like, it assists your marketing efforts, but I think I'd be really stressed out if I was relying only on social media. It's been hard for me to really see too many results on there versus YouTube has been a lot easier for me because I am treating it more like this is an SEO tool. Like, I am trying to answer people's questions. Like, I'm trying to just help them with bite-sized little things that they would be looking up in the realm of online business, which then leads to all my different sales funnels, which I have set up. So yeah, it's been way better for me, honestly, personally. And even though I've been like trying to build up my social medias, it's been a lot more difficult.
I know. I've seen you do such a great job on YouTube. So thank you for sharing that insight with us. So I just have a couple more questions here as we wrap up this amazing interview. So I know that we both love our tech tools. And again, a common question that I get from our audience is, what platform do you recommend for building your course on and why? I actually got this question twice in the past week.
Oh, okay. Well, I would say my top recommendation is what I use for my online courses. It's what I've been using for years. It's called Kartra. And the reason I love it is because it is an all-in-one online course platform where not only does it allow you to host your online course and create like a really beautiful branded online course for your students, but it also has all of the marketing tools built into it as well. So if you are excited about this more passive way of doing things, because of course, like not all course creators choose to set up these passive systems, but if you want to do that, then you need to leverage certain things like setting up sales funnels, setting up your email marketing, and Kartra makes all of that so nice and simple. Everything is nicely interconnected. Before I was using Kartra, I was having to like piece together all these different tech tools, and now I don't have to do that. And I can see like everything that I need to see about my students and how they're progressing through our courses. And it's amazing.
Yeah. Very cool. I have not used Kartra. We've done ours all custom built. So that's really interesting. I know that lots more people, I've taken a lot of courses on Kartra recently. And the experience from a student's perspective is nice. I really do enjoy it. And I was curious to know from the selling or the sales funnel aspect, it sounds like you do all of your sales funnel through Kartra as well. Is that correct? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So interesting. So like sales page, checkout pages, all of that is built in.
Everything. Affiliate program, email marketing, checkouts. You can host your videos if you want. I have another tool that I use for that, but you can host your videos in Kartra if you want. It's really a pretty powerful tool. Sending out newsletters, like growing your email list, setting up your landing pages, all of the things. When you think online marketing, like all of the things.
Yes, I know. I love Teachable. That was always the one I would recommend for people. So I am definitely getting into Kartra recently as people have been asking me for recommendations. So I'm going to have to pick your brain further on that platform. But as we wrap up here, I wanted to know, for someone who is interested in starting an online course business, what advice would you give them in terms of the first action steps to take?
Yeah. I think looking at the transformations that you have achieved in your own life, like looking, okay, is there a course already here? Like if you look at your experience, if you look at what you're doing with clients, a lot of people, if they already have clients, there's actually already like a framework there and they might not even realize it at first, but you already have like a process, you already have a strategy, a way of doing things that you would implement with every single client. And I think it's realizing that that is like where it all starts and you can package that up as an online course. So I would say look at those sort of transformations and see what you could find and then start sharing information online in that particular area. So picking a platform where you're going to start just sharing your experience. So it's up to you. Like if you want to start really simple and like just go on Instagram and start sharing a few stories and like getting comfortable talking about this particular subject, or I would say YouTube is a really great idea for anyone who wants to tackle that.
I love that. Thank you for so much for sitting down with me today and sharing your advice around how to build an online course, how you got started, and how we can make passive income and what that means to us. That was a really fun conversation to have with you today, Lou. And I know that you have a challenge coming up starting on November 14th, a free challenge. Can you tell our audience more about that challenge?
Yes, I'm so excited. It's going to be amazing. We already have thousands of aspiring course creators signed up. So it's called the Passive Profit Challenge. And basically, if you loved this conversation, if you love the idea of creating an online course and then earning passive sales from it, come and join us. Basically, for every single day, you're going to get a quick 10-minute lesson every single morning. And I'm going to challenge you to take one action step towards bringing your online course to life. It's going to be so much fun. There's prizes. There's going to be live Q&A calls. So come and I'll answer any other questions you have about building this type of online business. And yeah, it's going to be amazing.
I am so excited for it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be participating and we are going to just have so much fun. I know that the challenge is going to be really juicy info and to really help. I know that you use the same strategies that Cassie and I have used to build our super successful online course business. So I'm so stoked that you are releasing this brand new free challenge. And I really hope that those of you listening, if you are interested in creating an online course, come and join us at the Passive Profit Challenge. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for you to register. All right, Louise, can you tell us though, where can we connect with you? Where can we find you online? And then we will get us wrapped up here.
Amazing. So just find me at louisehenry.com. You'll see everything there, or you can send me a DM on Instagram at Louise Henry.
Amazing. Thank you again for being here. This was such an incredible interview, and I super appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us. Thank you for everybody who is listening to the Freedom Filled Life podcast. Thank you for being here. I will see you on another episode. Bye for now.
Hey there, my name is Cassie Torresillas, and 8 years ago, I launched my own online graphic design studio and booked a one-way ticket to travel the world in pursuit of my own freedom-filled life. I now own a multi-million dollar online business, The Bucket List Bombshells, teaching other women how to do the same, alongside my best friend, co-founder, and podcast co-host, Shay Brown. Around here, we believe that your crazy dreams aren't crazy and that it's time for you to start creating the life and career that you dream about too. Whether you want to travel and work remotely or simply just want to be your own boss, it's possible to live out your passion and purpose without just scraping by. We know that this path isn't always easy to navigate though, so we're here to help you. From making a career change, starting and growing your own business, balancing life and business, and most importantly, pursuing your own freedom-filled life. Get ready for real, relatable stories and advice on your journey towards something more. We serve it up BFF style, so pour yourself that third cup of coffee and let's dive in. Welcome to the Freedom-Filled Life podcast.